the West. My name is Charles. With me today, as always, is Richard and Ian. And today we have an episode titled, What is the Most Fun Army in Middle-Earth SVG?
The top 10 most fun armies. Undisputed list.
Yes. We asked the community to pick the top 10. We gathered all the votes and we're going to give everyone the rankings in this video. So this is a very, subjective opinion because everyone likes to play different armies. We had close to every army represented. So this really comes down to like your play style and what you like about a certain army's rules or whatever. So excited to get into it. And then we'll also give some of our favorites. We'll talk a little bit about what some of our favorite armies are. Before we get started, I just want to give a quick shout out to our patrons over on Patreon. Thank you guys for supporting us. And if you would like to see videos early or see additional content, as well as the rest of our perks, head over to our Patreon site and take a look. Link is in the description and on screen.
I think before we get into the top 10, which are based on the number of favorite votes, let's do our picks first.
I mean, I can go first. So viewers, if you have been listening to us in the past, you'll know that I love to talk about Far Harad. It's one of my favorites. And for a while after I fought the army, I played it for like a year straight. And I would say half the reason is due to the impale mechanic. I love the idea of being able to deal damage and remove enemy models in the move phase. And the majority of profiles in the game that allow you to do that are riskier, less, I guess, reliable. So you're talking about Mumax, Great Beasts, Troll Brutes, Chariots, stuff like that. Chariots can be reliable, but the way they move and is very like terrain dependent sometimes. And camels move like normal cavalry models. And I just think that adds a really fun and also tactical layer. And as well as every profile in that army is just pretty solid. So it can win you some games. I won't deny that being competitive is also a factor in why it's fun. So yeah, what do you guys think?
I think this is a good pick. I also saw a few community members also pick this one. I think a big part of why it's also picked is because of the hitting power. I think one of the common themes that we'll see with these favorite armies is that you have to be able to kill stuff. There's a bit less of the grindy type of list. Of course, there's still players that enjoy that kind of play style, which is totally great. But I think most people just enjoy, you know, having your big heroes, even your warrior models, being able to smash into the enemy line. So you got the impale mechanic, you have the half trolls, and even the well-priced Mahud Kings. They hit like a truck. So you got a lot of hitting power there.
Well, yeah, the half trolls are just fun. Like they're just solid models, so you can enjoy using them. But I think the big thing is just the impale mechanic. It is so annoying to play against, and it's hard to plan around, but it kind of brings like just like an X factor into the game as soon as you get like a bunch of camels running around. So it can make really interesting games and really annoying games if you're playing against them. But it is a good time.
Ian loves throwing spears, and these throwing spears don't need to roll to hit. You just charge them into combat and you roll to wound.
And they're strength 4.
And they hit rider and mount.
Yeah.
Not pick one.
It's wild. And can you use them in the combat phase? No, right? Or can you?
Well, it's anyone they charge. So if they do a hero combat, then yeah, you still impale.
It's amazing.
But Ian, if you can't kite with them.
It's true. That's true. You got me there.
Richard, your pick?
So one of my picks, I was actually surprised, didn't end up in the top 10, is the Moria list. I think everyone at this point has heard me talk about my Moria lists, but the fact that there's so many different ways to play them, you know, you got to admit that monsters are one of the most unique and fun ways to play the game. So they have, you know, bad monsters, you know, uncompetitive monsters like the dragon, which can also be quite fun though. Anything with fly, I feel like, you know, can be quite fun, and you can add stuff like the fire breath. You can do magic, so it's very flexible. So there's some customization there. You can run like a more generic list with the Balrog, which is more forgiving. It's generic, but he's still like this like huge unstoppable like monster. Can be very fun to play with. And then there's like the Cave Drake, and then there's my favorite, the Watcher in the Water. The rules are just super unique.
Cave trolls, cave trolls, anything that'll kill you.
And then there's even people who just go like mass goblins with like bats and drums and all that stuff. So I think there's just so many ways to play it. And I think you can play them quite competitively, but at the same time, it's not easy to play. I know we talked about it in top like hardest armies to learn and play. So I think that's part of the fun as well. If you want a list that has a very high ceiling, but you need to get really, really good and learn the nuances of the list to do well, I think that's the list for you.
I think I agree for the simple fact that monster's fun. Having just ran a monster for the first time, really, for the past couple months at an event, yeah, just being able to hurl and barge and do shenaniganry with that is a lot of fun in general, and Moria has an excellent selection of monsters. Not to mention bat swarms, which can make them, like, really, really hard to stop.
Can I just add in that they're, like, one of the best allying evil factions. I've said this before. They don't really have any green allies, but they got the yellow allies. I really had to refrain myself from yellow alliances, which to me are super fun, but I'm gonna just leave it at that. That Moria is great as a solo army, and then they can also ally.
I'm a little bit surprised that more people didn't vote Moria. I think this is a great pick. They have so many fun monsters. If you love playing monsters, Moria is one of the top armies to do it. Some other monster armies in the game, it's harder to use them because, like, for example, like maybe their warriors are a little more expensive, so you can't spam out as much. But Moria, you have the cheapest warrior possible, so you can bring all the big stuff, all the fun stuff, and still have good numbers. You can build so many lists with this one army, and they're all different, endless combinations.
And I forgot, they got spellcasters. And I think the variation to add magic in is always nice. Black Shield Shamans.
Yeah. Yeah. Shatter is a very fun spell. Disarming opponent heroes. Tremor is a lot of fun too. So definitely. All right, Ian.
Am I allowed to do two picks or one? Or can I shout a couple out?
Fine. But make it quick.
Sure.
I'm torn. Well, I'll go quick. So my like personal favorite is Theodred's Guard. I think that's just because it really fits into my play style. Because it's got a lot of shooting. It's got the skirmishing with the throwing spears. And the heroes in it are good, but they're not amazing. But they all kind of fill a role that you need in the list. So like learning how to maximize them and use them to their best potential is fun. I enjoy that. And it turns out it actually is reasonably competitive, I guess, that was proven in the UK last year. But, you know, it is what it is. The one that I think is more fun for everybody to play is the Fiefdoms. It has kind of like what you were saying earlier, like the hitting power with like Imrahil and like Forlong. And you can build up like a pike block and you can get some pretty good hitting power in there. But also everything's D4 and D5. So things just die. So your opponent has fun, too, because they're killing a bunch of stuff. You're killing a bunch of stuff. Buffs are everywhere. Your heroes are like good but not great. It's like, I mean, besides Imrahil is pretty great, but you know, it's a lot of fun to play. If you've never experienced Axeman two-handed piercing striking with some pikemen behind it, you should try it. It's great.
I haven't personally played Theodred's Guard, but I agree with you on the Fiefdoms. I like how many like different types of troops it has, and also mid-tier heroes, you know, they all provide different buffs, different synergies. It's a lot of fun, you know, building like a unique battle line around it. If you like shooting, their shooting is also pretty good. And then of course, like big, like heavily armored knights, the Swan Knights are the ones to go on the good side. So yeah, good pick.
Okay, should we get started on our top 10 voted by the community? So these are not our opinions. So you know, if you're going to get mad at these picks, get mad at your fellow listeners, not us.
Right. And they're probably going to try and blame it on us.
We polled at least 50 people, at least 100 people.
I think we got over 100.
Yeah, we polled at least 100 people. That's a pretty good number.
Maybe not the entire MESBG community, but it's data.
It's definitely numbers, can confirm.
Before we start number 10, though, let's go into some of the stats. So first we have good versus evil. So actually significantly more people picked an evil list. We have about a 60 to 40 split. What do you guys think of that?
I think this is represented by like Richard's pick with Moria. Evil has more monsters and more like flying beasts and stuff, and they're just fun to play with and more like unique like shenanigans, whereas good just kind of has like big beefy heroes. I'm generalizing, but overall
we've talked about the recent year or so, there's been more evil armies. Evil armies have been stronger, and I think part of it might contribute to that. We have a breakdown now of legendary legions versus actual army lists. So we have a 54.2% armies and 45.8% legendary legions. So we've talked about the rise of legendary legions in videos in the past, more and more people playing them, but there's still more people who played who picked armies. A lot of people still play pure armies, and I think that's good. I think that legendary legions, while they are cool, they shouldn't replace armies. So I like this balance.
Do you know now if there's more legendary legions than regular armies at this point?
There are still more armies.
Okay, so maybe then that should be a pretty close split, considering more armies should theoretically also have more favorites. So I think this split makes sense, but it also shows, you know, how viable legendary legions are, and they definitely are up and coming. I just want to add in too, I am so glad that we did not see a single vote for the Dragon Emperor. So my faith in the community has been restored.
The other thing I wanted to mention about legendary legions is I think that's one of the reasons why they were created, right? Is like to give theme to armies, right? Too. So I feel like they've done their job if people are picking legendary legions as their favorite. Okay, let's dive into number 10. The most voted favorite army to play, we have Corsairs of Umbar.
I mean, lots of shooting, which is fun. And like, if you're evil with that many throwing daggers, like I'm sure you have fun just throwing into like your own combats, trying to mess up good heroes. But also like, it's D3, D4 everywhere, so things just die. Yeah, I could see that being fun. Okay, yeah, that'd be fun.
Drafts win games, right?
This army might not have as many like of the regular toys as you might see in Evil. The amount of numbers makes it, you know, a little bit more forgiving. And then you have the shooting. Even if you don't have like the big smashy heroes or monsters, this like list hitting power is incredible. So I think similar to all the lists that we've touched upon, like it's got to be able to hit, and this army definitely does that.
I mean, I played it quite a bit last year, and there's something fun about having throwing weapons on like three quarters of your army. The heroes, I would say, are pretty cool as well. You have Dalamir with the smoke bombs and the rerolling to wound. You just have a lot of fun with it, whatever points level. Number 9, we have the Serpent Horde.
So another glass cannon shooting evil list. Oftentimes you see Serpent Horde allied with Corsairs of Umbar, so these are almost the same list.
I feel like this is like in combination with Corsairs, because that is like a really good alliance that you see a lot. And they kind of cover each other's weakness as well. Pure Harad, though, I mean, I guess if you're running Moomax, that's a pretty good meme. It's pretty fun.
Moomax are definitely fun, fielding them as like introduction games too for beginners. So I just think they're a really fun profile overall. So I don't know if that's the reason why some of these voters voted for Serpent Horde, but I think it's definitely a plus in the army list. Richard brought up at the beginning that, you know, hard-hitting armies are probably more likely to be considered fun, and Herad definitely hits hard. They have the Abrakan Guard, they have the Betrayer that you can stack poison with. Definitely lots of hitting power, and you can get a lot of numbers too. I think there are certain players that lean towards like a Horde playstyle. This list can definitely get the numbers up as well.
And you can get the Fel Beast here. You can get some magic with the Betrayer. Yeah, I think it's a solid pick. And I don't know if this is like adds to the fun factor, but you know, you talked about how if it's a competitive list, it helps. You know, people tend to have a bit more fun when they're winning games sometimes. And Suladan is one of the best evil heroes. So Serpent Horde is definitely competitive, and you know, so is number 10, Corsairs of Umbar. So I think that makes sense.
Okay, number 8, we have another glass cannon army. It is the Dark Denizens of Mirkwood. It's a nice surprise seeing this.
Yeah, this isn't quite as competitive as the other two, but I can definitely see why it's fun. You have a really, really fun hero, one of my favorite heroes in the game for fun factor, and also how good she is with the Spider Queen. And yeah, all your models move like 10 inches and just flying around, crawling everywhere. It's, yeah, it's a crazy list.
One thing you see whenever this army is on the table is it just like dominates the entire table all the time, which is kind of like, it's a cool look. Like you really get the feeling of you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be overwhelmed by all these like spiders and things just because their base size is so huge. It just looks this giant like wave that's going to envelop you. And then, you know, when the combat happens, it kind of does that. It kind of doesn't if they get the wrap, you know, but it is enjoyable, right? Because again, the spiders hit hard when they win fights, but they also die really easily. I feel like there's a common theme going on here.
I've had more than a few players come up to me and say, wow, there's a spider army in this game? Sign me up. Just the idea of a beast list is amazing.
I don't know. I've only played against this list one time, but I would say like maybe as part of like a fun rankings for some people too, is if your opponent is also having fun, it's also easier to have fun. And there are some more oppressive armies than others. And this is one of the ones that I think, even though it's not the most competitive, it can still do well. But at the same time, it's not like feels bad to play against army because it has its weaknesses. From what I've seen, the players that like main this army, you know, have some really fun games at a tournament.
Okay, we are at number 7. So in 7th place, we have Kirith Ungol, our first Legendary Legion.
More spiders. Well, more spider. I'm just going to throw this out there. I think part of this is because of like all the way the special rules work and interact. And the fact that you can make Shelob just into like a beast is kind of like, is pretty fun. Because like the way her profile is written is so like Frodo and Sam can fight her in this scenario. But like, this version of her, she's just kind of like crazy good. So I think just that fact is a lot of fun. And like the way you have to trigger the buffs is pretty cool too.
Yeah, plus you have the killing contest between Shagra and Gorbag, and you have Animosity. There's a lot of things going on in this Legion. Maybe it's not my playstyle, but for people that enjoy like synergies between two types of warriors and getting buffs that way, I think it's pretty cool.
I think out of the ones that have come up so far, this is kind of, you can say, the most well-rounded. This is closest to like a regular rank and file army, and then you throw like a supercharged Shelob in. So I think for the people who like playing a bit more well-rounded and normal lists, I think this is a really good option because you have a bit of spice and bring like a monster and some utility there, but you don't have to go full like all in glass cannon like, you know, some of the evil men armies.
Also, Shagra and Gorbag are just pretty fun Mordor heroes. Shagra with his big shield, Gorbag being able to get 3 attacks.
I think, yeah, Gorbag getting the 3 attacks, but then also with, like, the kill competing thing is pretty cool. So, like, he can become, like, for 60 points, he can kind of just go absolute beast mode, which is fun.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe a little bit of controversy coming up here. At number six, we have Angmar.
So these are the people that don't care about your opponent having fun, you know?
Do you enjoy watching innocent people suffer?
These people are having fun when they're, you know, playing chess, you know, against someone who is paralyzed on the other side and can't do anything. I can see the appeal. I personally haven't really played it much in like singles. I played it a couple games in doubles before, but I've definitely played my fair share against Angmar. And I think if you're a very technical player and you like a little bit of shenanigans like myself, I think there's a lot of different tools. And the fun thing about this list is that you bring orcs so they don't die, and they have terror, so they do a good job of staying alive. But you essentially play this army for the big heroes, for the Witch King, for Golivar, even for Birder. Barrow Whites are the support pieces, but yeah, it's all about heroes in this army.
Not popular in terms of favorite armies to play against. So putting myself in the shoes of the people who voted for this army, you're right. It's probably just the people who care less about your opponents having fun and just love having fun themselves. But yeah, all the synergies in this army, like we went over them in a tier list recently, in an Angmar tier list. There's a lot going on and a lot of different ways you can build it. And to me, that's pretty interesting, and it's kind of unique to Angmar. I mean, in other armies, there are ways to debuff enemies, but I think Angmar is the first one that comes to mind because there's so many more options. I can see why it's popular. It's pretty unique.
I think it also kind of has a bit of the Moria effect, you know, where like there's a lot of different ways you can build it, and it kind of does different things. It works differently depending on like which big hero combinations you take. Which can be like, you know, that's a fun like army list building thing as well. And then, you know, I think on the thing that the comment Charles made about the orcs is like, they still are just orcs. They're just orcs, right? They can go down. So it's kind of like learning how to maximize them to make sure they don't die super quickly so the rest of your army can do that. I can see it like being enjoyable just trying to like work that out and like maximize everything, because it does have a really high skill ceiling overall.
In our next most fun army to play, we have Mordor.
So all the things. Do you want wraiths? There's 10 options, because there's the generic option as well. Do you want a mini Mumak that has a bunch of archers on top that is kind of bullshit? It's got that too. Trolls, troll chieftains, kajillion types of orcs. It's great.
Catapults?
Oh, catapults. Like the one really, really good catapult in the game? Yes, it has that.
I think it's the largest army list in the game by far. Like, it's got the most profiles, the most just things to choose from. So it's not surprising it's on here. It's one of the big four factions, one of the four that has a battle host. So I can see why it's the most popular. It's iconic from the actual movies and books. And yeah, just overwhelming number of choices that you can take in this army.
So I gotta say, it's interesting that how many picks in are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it's all been evil. You know, I know, like, if we look at the entire picture, it's 60% evil and 40% good. But if we're looking at the top 10 so far of the most voted for favorite armies, this is a landslide so far.
Yeah,
remember, evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
With that said, I guess the number four pick, we finally have our first good army / legion, and it's not Theodred's Guard. To Ian's chagrin, it is Helm's Guard, though.
The obvious reason, I think, is for Helm himself. Pretty beast of a profile to begin with, and then he gets amped up even more in the Legion. by getting the, you know, he has the Mighty Hero and the Free Hero combat. Especially in the episodes that we covered this Legion, we've talked about how good it is at low points. And so when you're playing at low points, you're usually facing less threats. And so Helm is just going to be able to dominate more than how he actually appears in his profile. So having like almost like a superhero in your army, what's not fun about that, right?
Well, Helm gets to go supernova, but then like the rest of your list is pretty like, it's just chaff, pretty much. So it's like, and he has some like glaring weaknesses too with the fight five. So I can see it's like a fun challenge to play, and you could just have a guy who just goes nuts, but also like you have to play around the rest of the list because if he goes down, you're in a lot of trouble.
I mean, the list isn't bad. I think it's fairly well rounded at low points. Like you get fight five in the army for warriors, and you get a lot of throwing spears, and I think this is one of the Rohan legions that you also get the throwing spears acting as regular spears as well. So you can have a front line. I don't know. Maybe it's because it seems like the game right now, tournament-wise, is trending a bit lower in points. I know this year, 2023, both Nova and Articon, so US and UK premier tournaments were at 650. So maybe it's a meta thing where the lower point armies are starting to show their quality.
That's a good point. I think certain legions do better at low points. You're going to see them more on the table, and then naturally more people will, you know, find the ones that they enjoy and vote for them in this poll. So now we are at the top three. So in third place, the third most voted for the most fun army in the game is Defenders of Helm's Deep. We have another Rohan Legendary Legion.
This one makes sense to me because you get to play with all the heroes, and they all have pretty good special rules. You get Fight 7 Aragorn. You know, Haleth, the kid, is a beast. You get the old guy, spamming might and just shooting down things. You get 30-inch elf bows, including Legolas. And it doesn't hurt that it's like it's a strong army, too. So it's, I think, the mix between good rules and, yeah, solid competitive play.
I mean, it's freaking iconic. Like, there's like this and, like, the Ride of the Rohirrim, where I think, like, anybody who's seen the movies is going to be like, I know what that is. And it's, like you said, it's just a lot of fun. Like, this is one of the armies where you actually get to, like, use Legolas and Gimli and have them run around doing their kill contests, which is fun. Like, that's just a cool mechanic. And then, like Richard said, you know, Aragorn can go around and do his thing, get boosted by Haleth, or you can see, you know, Théoden and Gamli can just spam might with the two little Rohan dudes. Aldor, he's such a meme, so fun. I've used him in like three games, and every time he's gotten a kill on the first round of shooting and then done nothing afterwards. And I was like, yes, perfect. You're doing what I want you to do. So yeah, just fun stuff.
Speaking of iconic, when this edition first dropped in 2018, there was such an uproar when the FAQ dropped adding the hero valor requirement for allying, because this list was illegal due to that FAQ, because Haldir was a hero of fortitude. See, he wasn't able to ally with the three hunters, which I believe was the reason why they upgraded him to valor shortly after, ahead of the FAQ schedule. And so that's how important this alliance, this army, this combination is to people. It's just an army that people have always wanted to play.
Yeah, and I just want to add in too, having played this army a couple times, as strong as it is, maybe because it doesn't have like the ability to mount all these crazy like buffed up heroes, it doesn't feel oppressive. It feels like there's a way to win against it. It lacks mobility. And so certain scenarios that force them to kind of come forward a little bit makes it that the 30-inch bows usually isn't like too game-breaking.
In second place, of the Most Fun Army, we have Azog's Legion. Does this surprise anyone?
Kind of.
I think your silence says yeah.
The thing is that, personally, I'm not too surprised because it's an army I've always wanted to build because it's so crazy. Like, Azog is just like, I don't know, Aragorn / Elisar type of hero. It's just, he's insane. And that's always fun. And then throw in all the monsters in this list and all the tools and tricks, like the mercenaries. They got flyers too. I don't know. It has all the pieces for a really fun and aggressive army. Like, you're not going to sit back and shoot. You're not going to like have draws playing with or against Azog's Legion much. Games are going to end like really quickly when one of the heroes goes down. So I do see the appeal, but the surprising part is that it's a hobby army. And also, like, you see so much of the, you know, fight 7 orc hate on the community pages. Even though this is like a thematic army, you could say, it's probably not most movie lovers' like favorite iconic army.
Yeah, it's a little bit controversial that way. In the past, I've been tempted to start Azog's Legion. I've actually bought some of the models. But then when I flip to the rules of the coolest things in the army, the Gundabad trolls and Troll Brute, and I read the rules, I don't end up bringing it to a tournament. There is competitive stuff in the army, like mercenaries, and you can definitely build a tournament-winning list. But I want to use those expensive Forged World trolls that I bought. I just never got into the army fully because of that. It's just, like, there's so many things in the army that's just memes. And yeah, essentially it's just like the fact that only like half the list is actually really good, and then the other half you just never see.
And the signal tower, if they gave us a model for that, I would buy the army instantly. Yeah.
It's the ultimate meme. Spend 400 points for like one hero and a tower.
At least give us the proper dimensions or like tournament level scale of like how tall it is.
It's been implied in that one scenario that it's what, 200 millimeters by 200 mil, something like that. It's like 20, or there's like 10 by 10. I don't know. And that's like, it doesn't have what everybody uses.
It doesn't have the height and depth though that you can gain.
That's true.
Ian, so many arguments about the rules in this game are based on implications and based in assumptions. So I don't think that is enough to be considered actual concrete rules.
I'm pretty sure MTM Prints has one that they sell that's roughly that size, you know, if people are looking for one.
Not sponsored.
We aren't. I mean, to be fair, they also haven't given us the base size for the what are they called? The dragon, the mini dragons. Drakes, the war drakes either. So, you know, Thanks, GW. Yeah. But yeah, I think this is the one way in EVIL where you get to run one or two really big heroes. Like, everything else on EVIL side is like monsters for the most part. So if you want to run big heroes, you got to come to this list and do it. And it has a bunch of fun supporting troops and like a huge army list to back it up. So I think that kind of explains, like says enough for itself.
If you don't care about winning, definitely it's a fun army. Just bring like 3-4 trolls, you know, just spam out on monsters and just rush forward at your enemy and just throw them all into combat.
And not to mention too, like Bolg with his like kill mechanic thing, that's cool. It is cool. And it can be a lot of fun. And then, you know, when he does, if he does get up to those 10 kills, you're like, you're laughing, you're having a great time, right?
With that said, Charles, it still has competitive chops. You can play like a meme, but you can also build it very competitively too, which is why I think it appeals to so many players.
Fair enough.
Drum roll for number one.
This is first place of the Most Fun Army in the game. We have the Army of Dunland, Legendary Legion.
Yeah, this one was really surprising. I don't know where this came from.
I think it helped that some of these voters actually wrote in comments of why they picked it. And it made sense to me, and I can get on that. So I believe some people said that it's a mix of Lord of the Rings and historical, because they're basically based off of Vikings. So if you like Vikings from history, you're kind of like playing a Viking army. And then also just the special rules in the actual Legion, the war cry, the plus one to wound, is fun. I guess the heroes are pretty fun. They all have like kind of neat special rules. So I kind of get it. It is a little bit surprising that it's in first place. I mean, like, if it was in top 10, like lower part of top 10, fair enough. I kind of expect it to be there, but number one.
Yeah, can't say for sure, but I do agree with you. Like, from what I've seen, the hitting power is there for sure. There's something crazy, like, you can do, like, the war cry, the hatred rule against like Rohan, and like two-handed striking with some heroes, and you somehow the math works out where you can get some auto wounds with this army, so you don't even have to roll dice, you just get the wound. So I can see the appeal of that.
So I've played against this list twice, both times using my Theodred's Guard. When this army hits Rohan, which is a very common army at events, it just goes, like, right through them. Like, I think in one of my games, my opponent had, like, wild men with two-handed axes charging my guys, but I was defending a barrier, and I was like, I'm fine. This is great. He did the war cry. He won the fight. So he's wounding me on, like, twos, and, like, all of my guys died, and they all hopped over the fence. And I was like, ah! Well, there goes my left flank. Didn't see that one coming. Like it just goes straight through Rohan stuff, which, you know, that can be a lot of fun. Like, the hitting power is there. And then, like, the heroes are good, not tremendous, but, like, you can use them in fun ways, and they have fun special rules. So, yeah, it's got a lot of good stuff going for it.
Fair enough. That was our top 10. So we definitely would like to hear from the community. What did everyone think of the top 10 voted? Do you agree with them? Were there any that were surprises to you? And thanks all for watching, and look forward to the next episode of Into the West.